Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Now, this psalm is 52 verses long, and some of them have called it the covenant psalm. And I'll tell you, I'm going to talk about the faithfulness of God. And that's what this song talks. This psalm, it's a song. The word psalm means a song, and they did sing these psalms. But the truths in here are not symbolic; they're literal truths. So Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. There's several times that word faithfulness is used in this psalm. For I have said mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. This is a psalm not of David. It's a psalm to David. And we know David, the friend of God, the man after God's own heart, king of Israel. Thy seed, now I want you to get this, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. That's not just something thrown in there. That means like a musical pause, that you stop and reflect on what you've just read. That's how you read scripture. Not just read it to be reading it. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab, that's Egypt. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Tabor is the west and Hermon is the east. So we've got the north, south, east, and west, which covers all of the earth. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and justice. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. Reflect back on all that. What a load to reflect on. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. That's not spoiling by giving them. That's spoiling by taking. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of Psalm 89. Now, if you understand what we've read, we've been repeatedly reminded of the faithfulness of God, that he will not break his covenant, his agreement with David. He promised everlasting throne of David. Now, in our day and age, we've got some people that say that Jews no longer exist. That some of them are so-called independent Baptists that say that the Jews went out of existence in 70 AD. If they did, this whole psalm is a lie. God promised to David that his throne would last forever. Look back at 2 Samuel 3:10. A little bit of scripture here, but that'll help. That you'll know that I'm just not shooting from the hip. 2 Samuel 3:10. Verse 10, he said to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul and to set up the throne of David. Saul was the first official king of Israel. In Samuel's day, they wanted a king like everybody else. And Samuel gave them a king, and Saul was it. Ishbosheth before him, but that's different. Saul, and God removed Saul because Saul was disobedient. And now he raises up David. You talked about the anointing oil running down the beard. Samuel anointed David, even while Saul is hunting down David. But anyway, he said to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. So that's where he sets it up. Now look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 12, now we have Solomon, the son of David. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. We're still talking about the throne of David. Now look at verse 33 of this same chapter. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. That's the throne of David. Now look at chapter 2, verse 45. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. It hasn't been eliminated. All right. Look at 2 Chronicles now. This is good exercise. 2 Chronicles, amongst other things, it's good exercise. I'm turning just like you are. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 18. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father. So who did God covenant with? David. Saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Now look at Psalm 132. And there's probably 100 more scriptures I could have brought up. I'm just trying to bring up some that are key. Psalm 132, verse 10. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. What we are seeing established in Scripture is the throne of David. That's what we're talking about. Look at Isaiah. This is very important. Isaiah 9. See, the Bible is just not a hodgepodge of writings. The Bible is a complete book. It's called Ta Biblia, it's the books. And all 66 books are vital to the whole Bible. And they're not just scattered in there and at random set in there. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. I don't know what these Christ deity deniers do with this. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, That's, of course, he's talking about Jesus Christ. 700 years before he was born in Bethlehem, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What wonderful scripture. Now look at Luke 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Well, you run off. You ought to be happy about that. Luke 1. Somebody put something up on Facebook the other day, and I clicked on it. I said, on my bucket list, there are no other versions than the King James. So it took a lot of blood of a lot of people to get us to this point. I think what they're talking about, the anniversary, the birthday of the King James, 1611. I think that's what they're talking about. But I wanted all of them to know, I don't have any other versions on my bucket list. If you got another version of the Bible, keep it to yourself. I've got no use for it. I believe that our brothers and sisters in Christ from the first century, they had the Word of God. And they were not waiting for some dude to come in the 21st century and make another translation of the Bible and say, this is the best one. They had the Word of God. And we've still got it. Right here it is. Anyway, Luke 1, verse 30. Now, we are not Mariolaters. We appreciate Mary. God chose her to give birth to Jesus Christ. She was not the mother of God. God has no mother. God is Yahweh. He's the eternal, self-existent God without beginning, without ending. He is eternal. Before God, before the world was, God is. Verse 30, the angel talks to Mary. She was a sinner saved by the grace of God, just as many others. And she was not a perpetual virgin. She had Jesus had half brothers and half sisters. Mary was the bearer of the man Christ Jesus. God the Holy Spirit was his father. Joseph was not his father because she was a virgin. She didn't remain a virgin. She had others, and that marriage was consummated as it should have been. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Yeshua. Old Testament, Joshua, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now David was genealogically his father, but we're talking about David was 1,000 years before Jesus was born. But I've already shown you in Scripture the covenant of God to perpetuate the throne of David. And that is the throne. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Or he shall reign over the house of Israel, or of Jacob, forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now look at the book of Revelation. This is at the church of Thyatira. The letter from Jesus to the church of Thyatira. And he says to this church, verse 25, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. See, everybody's talking about, well, you've got to branch out and you've got to have million-dollar buildings and all of that if the Lord's with you. God told this church, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. Talking about being faithful. Oh, chapter 2, verse 27. Now, verse 25 is what I read there. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works. Why is he saying he to a letter to a church? Because churches are made up of individuals. Unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Well, that looks like it's talking about nations of this world. All right. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now look at chapter 12 of Revelation. And we see this, a vision in heaven that has history as well as prophecy in it. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Obviously that's Israel. And obviously it's back at the time of Luke 1. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold a great red dragon. And that's certainly Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know what happened? They had to get out of Jerusalem. They had to go south to Egypt to get away from Herod's command to murder all the male babies of the Jews. She brought forth a man child. You can't get anything but Jesus Christ out of that. Who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne. When was he called up to God and to his throne? At the ascension in Acts, the first chapter. Behold, they watched him taken up, and a cloud received him. Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus whom you've seen taken up, he shall come in like manner, the same place. Bodily is what she's talking about. Anyway, this man-child is to rule all nations with the rod of iron. One of these so-called theologians have wiped all that out. That's not going to happen according to them. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll stick with Scripture and I'll let them peddle their papers. We're talking about Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David. That hasn't happened yet. Yes, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavens making intercession for all believers. What a wonderful thing. But he's going to come back again. And when he comes back again, he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. Revelation 20 is very specific on that. And it will last for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, he will rule all nations with the rod of iron. That is all the heathen nations. And they're all heathen around here. Anyway, now look at chapter 19. And verse 15. Well, let's back up just a little bit. Verse 11. And I saw heaven, and behold, heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Now, back in chapter 6, we saw a white horse with a rider. And it's amazing how many commentaries say that that's Jesus Christ. Well, certainly it's a white horse. And this is a white horse. But on that and back in chapter 6, a crown was given him. And he had a bow, but no arrows. Now, just exactly how much damage can you do with a bow and no arrows? You'd have to chase him down and beat him over the head with it, wouldn't you? That means that whoever that was coming on that white horse, he has derived power, has no power himself. And he doesn't have a crown. Somebody else has given him one. I contend that one is the Antichrist coming. And then you see, you got three more horses. You don't have three more riders. They talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. No, you've got four horses of the apocalypse. You've got a white horse, and that just is the Antichrist coming as the great deceiver, imitating Christ on the white horse. But by their fruit you shall know them, and you prove me out in Matthew. When he talks about by their fruits you shall know them, he's talking about false prophets. So by their fruits you shall know them. The next horse you see is a red horse. Same rider, no change in rider, different horse. He takes war, takes peace from the earth. That's not good. Then the next horse is a black horse. Then that's famine. And then the pale horse, or the green, that's sickly green. There's death, sickness, and disease. All manner of disease. Well, that certainly isn't Jesus Christ. That's the Antichrist. And then you got the fifth seal, and the martyred souls under the altar. And they say, how long, O Lord, hold in justice, thou not deliver us from this, wreak vengeance for us. And the Lord didn't say he wasn't going to take vengeance. He just said, wait a little while. For your other brethren who shall be killed as you were, and then the sixth seal, shaking of the heavens, all that great every mountain and island moved out of its place. And that's when they all said, rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb, the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? That's not Jesus. Now here, I'd say, yeah, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. There, faithful, there we go again. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Not somebody giving him a crown. His head, on his head already are many crowns. And in his, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Isn't that wonderful? That's Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who is the Word of God. Remember this, a word is a vehicle of thought. If you have a thought and you want to express it, whether you have to voice it or write it, or even sign language it, you better make sure that you've got the right words to express your thought. Many times people ask me to check things out, writings and all that, and I do. And one time I had a preacher, he's going to send out a letter to a bunch of other preachers, and he asked me to check it over, and I did. And I told him, I said, "Brother, if you send this letter, you'll absolutely destroy yourself as being the most ignoramus anybody ever saw." I said, "I've never seen such a mess, and you're going to get mad at me." But I said, "You need to get you somebody that knows what they're doing and express to them what you want to express and let them express it. I can't straighten this out. Not at all." He wasn't going to say what he wanted to say. He had a gobbledygook mess. Never seen such a bad one. I've had that happen. That's probably the most extreme, but I've had a lot of them happen. Anyway, you want to give the right words. Youngins in school, that's why you need to increase your vocabulary. Don't laugh at people trying to use proper language. They're trying to express themselves properly. And if you don't, you can't hope to be understood. But let me tell you that the Almighty God expressed Himself perfectly. Jesus, His Word, the eternal Word, came to earth and declared God. No man has seen God at any time, but if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. If you've heard the Son, you've heard the Father. Well, let me go on now. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses. Doesn't it bless your heart to know that even in the millennial age, and I believe on into the eternal age, that we will always have the benefit of, number one, horses, blessings of horses, and all of God's animate creation. Why wouldn't they be there? Of course they're going to be there. They're what God created, and they're wonderful, and they do what exactly God ordained them to do. And here we'll come riding on horses. I'd much rather have that than a Corvette. Anyway, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth, that would be the word of God, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Book of Hebrews says, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the quick and the marrow, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. There's that winepress. Fermented wine symbolizes the wrath of God. That's why we don't use that in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Jesus drank that cup, and in that cup was poured out all of the wrath of God upon his only begotten Son, and he drank even the dregs of it. He said, "I have a cup to drink that you know not of." We can't drink of that cup, and we don't do it in the Lord's Supper. We drink the pure fruit of the vine, and that's what the Scriptures demand. I don't know why brethren couldn't see that. But that's exactly, read Psalm 75. In the Lord's hand is a cup, and in that cup is the wine of the wrath of God, just like the burnt offering in the Old Testament every morning and evening. And that burnt offering, the priest would pour a fourth part of a hin of wine, that's probably about a quart of fermented wine, and he would pour it over that burnt offering. Didn't drink it. He poured it out over that burnt offering. And that burnt offering, it became a burnt offering, and it became a smell of a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. And every morning they saw our blessed Lord sacrificed unto God, and the wrath of God had pleased God to put him to death in behalf of his elect. And every evening they saw Jesus Christ drinking that cup of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. But here he comes at this time, and he's treading out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And that means on this earth, for the wrath of God is to come. And people talk about bad times. They don't know what they're talking about. Here's bad times, but they don't believe it. I don't know what the problem is. They're lost, that's what it is. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ and his threefold office work. He's prophet, priest, and king. He's prophet without equal. He's our great high priest, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And where do kings sit? On the throne. And what throne will he be sitting on? It will be the throne of David, God's faithful, God's covenant. Now quickly, I don't think I can get all this. Quickly look at John 19. I'll take just a minute here. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, now get this, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh or near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. When you see that cross that's got I-N-R-I above it, understand that is not the cross of Christ. Those are not even Latin letters symbolizing this. It's what they try to tell you. If they had what was on the cross, you'd see this in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And that would take up quite a bit of space. Anyway, but he says, then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I'm King of the Jews. You see, the only ones that were griping about this were the Pharisees, the religious people that thought they were law keepers. Paul said, I was alive without the law once before he was saved. He said, and then the law came. Sin revived and I died. And he realized he wasn't saved by keeping the law. Nobody has ever been saved by keeping the law. I'll tell you who kept the law. Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He kept the law every jot and tittle, and he did it to earn perfect righteousness to impute to every believer. You got to have perfect righteousness to get to heaven. Not only got to have your sins paid for, you also got to have perfect righteousness. And if you're in Christ, you've got it, because his perfect earned righteousness under the law has been imputed to you by faith. Isn't that marvelous? Well, Pilate, not a servant of God, but little did he know that the wrath of God, praises God, and the remainder God will restrain. You can't do enough to thwart the purpose of God. You just can't do it, because he takes the worst acts of the worst men and uses them according to his will. And if he doesn't, he just restrains them. So Pilate, what are you going to do about that? That bunch of Pharisees that you listened to them to make you give them a murderer, and you crucified Christ, even beat him before he was crucified, even though you said, I find no fault in this man. He's done nothing wrong. But Pilate stubbed up on him right here. Now, why did he stub up on him? Because God did a work of grace in him. That's why. What Pilate said to him, what I have written, I've written. In other words, it's going to stay right there, and you're going to see the truth. Even if you don't recognize it, there is the truth. Let me tell you this. Truth must be declared, but you cannot destroy truth. Anyway, what I've written, I've written. Now, in Luke, quickly, verse 1, chapter 1 again of Luke. I'm not trying to work you to death here. What he said to Mary, verse 31, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. And then 1 Chronicle, chapter 28. If I ever get to where I can handle that computer, I'll print all these scriptures out before I bring them here and even give you a copy of them if you want them. 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 5, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son, that would be David talking, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. There you go. And, oh man, I got to read this. In Ezekiel, real quick, chapter 21. Ezekiel chapter 21. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. Now he said, if they disobey him, he's going to punish them. But nevertheless, he'll not cause his faithfulness to fail. And that's what they all say, well, Israel got so bad that God cut them off and did away with them. He said he wouldn't do that. Say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thence thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth. And there, save time here, look back down at verse 8. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, say, a sword is sharpened, and also furbished, it is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree. This is what he's saying to his people Israel. My sword is sharpened. It is furbished. It is polished. We think about guns. In the days when they fought with swords, you see a glistening, sharpened sword, and it's coming to you. That's a horrible thought. That's a horrible sight. And God says to them, why should we then make mirth? Mirth is laughter. Everybody says, well, laughter is the best medicine. No. God says that in the face of God's judgment, laughter is not the best medicine. Why should we then make mirth? But he said his wrath is coming. He said, well, Verse 27, I will overturn. Shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. That's, I'm running out of time. That whole passage there. But who is the rightful occupant of the throne of David? When he comes, I'll give it to him. That's exactly what he's saying there. I've got Daniel, I've got Acts, I've got Micah. I don't have time to get it all. But anyway, my point is this. God is faithful. God is a covenant-keeping God. God made a covenant a long time ago. And he said, I'll not cause my faithfulness to fail. Now let me give you this one. If you're saved, you're only saved by the sovereign working of God, by his mercy and by his grace. And he said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. Because God is faithful and he keeps his covenant, you and I can have the peace and the joy of knowing that we have everlasting life abiding in him. Not going to get it, we have it. And if it's not, we never had it. So if you're not saved, we say, as the scriptures say, repent and believe the gospel. And if you truly repent and believe the gospel, then you become a child of God and you have eternal life. You are a child of God. May the Lord bless you all. Let's stand.